You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast, featured on allhabs.net, brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Michael Spinella. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Michael Spinella, and I'll be your host for the next hour. This is episode 242 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast, and I am very pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, the editor-in-chief, the founder, and the president of Rocket Sports, Mr. Rick Stevens. And Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. Welcome back. We had Chris G sitting in your chair last week, and we're happy to have you back in studio because there's a whole lot for us to talk about today. It's a busy day in sports. We've got the Kentucky Derby running today, if you're into that, 149th running of the Kentucky Derby. Of interest, there's a horse, I think he's a long shot, but he's named Rocket Can. So there's a rocket a rocket connection there. The F1's in Miami. But the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is awfully fun, even without the Montreal Canadiens. Some interesting... Is it good to see the Toronto Maple Leafs down 2-0 to Florida?
I don't know. I feel like this has been something that I've seen on Twitter, people getting all out... arguments, you know, you're not a real fan. You should think this way. Oh, Maple Leafs, whatever. I don't care. I just want some good hockey to watch, to be honest. And let's be real. The one thing that the NHL playoffs has going for them is the amount of parity that happens every year. At this point, I think it's wide open for anyone. Most of the favorites, if not all of them, were knocked out in that first round. So plenty of good hockey to get to. And of course, plenty to talk about in the world of the Montreal Canadiens, despite the fact they're not in the playoffs. We'll have some news and some updates on their prospects. Then in segment two, we're going to have a big topic, and Habs fans endorse a rebuild. But for how long? That's the question, and we'll talk about it. And in segment three, it's a Have Your Say segment. Our Canadiens Connection question of the week. Who would you rather see in the Eastern Conference Final, Toronto or Florida? That's the main question we want to know from you. And if we can have a civil conversation, that'd be pretty cool. And if anyone is interested in answering that or just letting us know any of their thoughts, Rick, what's the best way to reach out to us?
Send us a text. We have the Rocket Sports text line at 5853-ROCKET. You should know the number by now, 5853-ROCKET. Well, we know you do know the number because we've received a number of texts this week, and a few emails at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com.
You can also engage with us on our social medias. You can follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, check out the website, CanadiansConnection.com. Starting things off, we have two fascinating stories in the world of the Montreal Canadiens from this past week. Starting off, the Montreal Canadiens and National Bank are spearheading a drive to collect hockey equipment for disadvantaged youth. So they'll be accepting skates, hockey sticks, slightly used jerseys, any kind of hockey equipment can be donated. And in exchange, you'll be given a $10 discount that you can use at Tricolor Sports.
That's a great program. Any kind of gently used hockey equipment will be accepted and for a great cause.
Also, we previewed this one last week on the show, but we just got the official confirmation on this. Quebec has renamed Highway 50 after Canadians legend Guy Lafleur, and there will be a ceremony on Thursday. Highway 50 is an east-west route that runs from Gatineau near Ottawa through Mirabel and straight through north of Montreal. So nice to see that he's going to be commemorated in that way.
Yeah, that was the ceremony held in Thurso last, the birthplace of Guy Lafleur, last Thursday. As we forecasted, we let you know that was coming. The premier making it official, Autoroute 50 is now Autoroute Guy Lafleur.
So please check out Habs Notepad and Habs Headlines throughout the busy offseason at HabsHockeyReport.com. Some interesting news on Montreal Canadiens players. Canadiens prospects Sean Farrell, Lane Hutson, and Luke Tuck have been named Team USA for the 2023 IIHF World Championships. Not a very deep team on Team USA, I'll say that much, but lots of big opportunities for young players. You'll also have Luke Tuck's older brother, Alex Tuck, on that team. That's pretty cool, too.
It was Alex Tuck that announced back three or four weeks ago, we reported it on Canadiens Connection, that Alex Tuck said that he and his brother Luke, Luke being the Canadiens prospect, who would be part of the team. I guess the ones that that we found out more recently, that being Sean Farrell and Lane Hutson. And yes, there's a mix of young and veteran talent on that team. It's always interesting to see how these teams are put together, who is available and who says yes, because as we know, for both the Canadian team and American team, there was several no's as well.
On Team Canada, we're going to have Justin Barron, and as announced a little bit, a few weeks ago anyway, Sam Ontembeau will be the goalie there too. Other significant players that are on this Team Canada lineup, Adam Fantilli, Devin Levi, and I couldn't help but notice that no Mike Matheson. We talked about this a couple weeks ago on Locker Cleanout Day. Matheson confirmed he had an invite, but it was undecided, so I guess he decided and the answer was no.
And good to see former Canadian Tyler Toffoli adding some veteran presence to the Team Canada.
Yeah, lots of Flames on there. I believe Mackenzie Weegar too. So interesting that they are all going to continue their hockey season. Milan Lucic, I always think he's retired, but he's still kicking around. He'll be on that team too. Big back end, lots of vicious players like Jake Walman and Tyler Myers. So we'll see how these two teams can stack up against each other. So now I think we'll get into our Habs Prospect Report.
This edition of the Rocket Report is brought to you by AHL.Report, your premier source for the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. AHL.Report is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
So we'll start with an update on the AHL affiliate Laval Rocket, and then we'll move over to the CHL playoffs and talk about what some of the Habs prospects have been able to do in those playoffs. So starting off, the Laval Rocket have named Lucas Condotta the winner of their AHL Man of the Year award for his outstanding contributions in the Laval community. This includes some visits to the hospitals, the Rocket Hockey Tour, and Ready for Fun.
Lucas Condotta has been a real nice fit with the Laval Rocket and provides some of that. Not that he has a whole lot of experience, but he has leadership experience. He was the captain at UMass Lowell in the NCAA, and he's just got a presence about him that is a nice fit. He even got into a game with the Canadiens this year. He was the winner of that award for the Laval Rocket and a nominee. Each team made their nominees known, and the overall winner was announced on Thursday. And that went to Manitoba Moose, the Jets affiliate captain, Jimmy Aligny. Other names on the list that we recognize, there's Malcolm Subban, brother of PK with Rochester. Josiah Didier with the Providence Bruins. We remember Josiah from the St. John's Ice Caps, and Will Bitten, another Canadian, former Canadiens prospect with the Springfield Thunderbirds.
Taking a look at the CHL playoffs, it looks like some Montreal Canadiens prospects have been knocked out. Starting off, the Quebec Rampart versus Riley Kidney and the Gatineau Olympique. Well, the Quebec Rampart win the series in a clean sweep, 4-0. Riley Kidney, though, had a pretty good playoff on his own in 13 games. He put up 22 points. So sad to see that he's officially been knocked out.
And in that series himself, he had 2 goals and 2 assists. So he did his part, and he had a terrific playoff run. As you said, 22 points in 13 games, and it's going to be exciting to see him likely with the Laval Rocket in the fall.
Logan Mailloux and the London Knights have an opportunity to knock out the Sarnia Sting, as London currently leads their series 3-2. Mailloux in 14 games, he has 16 points, so he's been a nice anchor on that back end for them. Very impressed with what I've seen from Mailloux.
He had an assist in Friday night's game. The Knights won 5-2, as you said, to go up 3-2 in that series.
Owen Beck and the Peterborough Petes are looking to battle back against the North Bay Battalion as North Bay leads that series 3-2. Owen Beck in 15 games, he's put up 11 points. Let's see if he can prolong this series and maybe have a comeback victory.
North Bay won that game 6-2, but Owen Beck did his job on Friday night, had a goal, and an unbelievable, I had to check this, 86% at the faceoff dot. He was 19 for 22 in faceoffs, just absolutely, absolutely dominant. Owen Beck, just very impressive so far in the playoffs.
And then Joshua Waugh and the Sherbrooke Phoenix are tied in a series with the Halifax Mooseheads. Joshua Waugh currently 13 games played, 25 points, so he's having one heck of a time in the playoffs so far. Halifax Mooseheads are some stiff competition, so let's see what he can do. And I'm sad to say that my dream of a Joshua Waugh versus Riley Kidney final will not be happening, and it is possible that neither one gets to the final, but let's hope that the Sherbrooke Phoenix can move along here.
It's been a very good series, and two teams, but Joshua Waugh, what an incredible playoff run he's having.
But it looks like Jared Davidson and the Seattle Thunderbirds could move on in the WHL semifinal. They're against the Kamloops Blazers, and Seattle currently leads that series 3-1. Jared Davidson in 12 games, he has 18 points, so really padding up these stats, aren't they?
He's that kind of guy that who can who's gone a bit of under the radar, although we've been talking about him a lot, but it just is contributing in the playoffs and in big goals throughout both of their series.
So be sure to read all the content at AHL.report. Also listen to and subscribe to the Press Zone, as that comes out every single Tuesday. That's going to be hosted by Amy Johnson and Patrick Williams and sometimes Rick Stevens, and they do a great job of keeping you up to date with everything Laval Rocket. So every week, we're going to do a little bit of an update on the NHL entry draft, if there's any news or some changes in the rankings. As long as it's relevant to Habs fans, we know that NHL draft lottery is coming up on Monday at 8 p.m. There was a little time change, so make note of that. And the Montreal Canadiens have an 8.5% chance at picking first overall, so cross your fingers, and we're going to take a look at three top five draft rankings that were put out this past week from Bob McKenzie at TSN, Jason Bukala at Sportsnet, and Scott Wheeler of The Athletic.
And just before we do that, just back to the draft lottery for a second. As you mentioned, 8.5% chance of the Canadians choosing first overall, which doesn't seem to be a very big number. And it was Canadiens president, owner, Jeff Molson, who was asked about that in an interview this week. And I'll read his quote. He said, "Our odds of winning are 8.5%, so we don't expect to win the draft lottery. However, if we win, we would be very, very lucky. Everyone in the province of Quebec would be very happy." I'll just remind Jeff Molson that half of the Canadiens fans are in Quebec and the other half are outside of Quebec. So there would be more that would be jubilant across the world. Habs fans are everywhere, as we've talked about. Just a reminder there to the owner. But I should also say 8.5% for the first pick overall, 8.6% chance of picking second, 0.3% chance of picking third, the way the balls figure out in that. So very small choice of picking third. They don't have a chance at all of picking fourth, just not statistically possible. And the way things, the rules governing the way you're allowed to move up, 24.5% chance of picking fifth, 44% chance of picking sixth, and a 14% chance of picking seventh. So, and I think it was you that talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how the New Jersey Devils have been fortunate in moving up over the years. They moved up in 2019 from third to first. They moved up, if this is a model, in 2017 from fifth to first to pick Nico Hischier. And, of course, last year moved from fifth to second to pick Simone Nemec, maybe the best player in that draft. Blackhawks back in 2007 moved from fifth to first, Patrick Kane. And the Islanders back in 2000 moved from fifth, where the Canadiens are now, to first to make the biggest mistake of their franchise history in picking Rick DiPietro. I'm not even sure if he's off the books these days. Yes, I think he is. So setting that backdrop, again, the draft lottery, we'll have more information for you next week where the Canadiens are likely to draft. But that's all the background that you need to know as we head into it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well set who is going to be number one and number two of three different guys I mentioned, Bob McKenzie, Jason Bukala, and Scott Wheeler. They all have Connor Bedard number one. No surprise. Number two, Adam Fantilli. That's not a surprise either. So if Montreal picks in either of those spots, I think we have a pretty good idea who's going to be drafted. Number three is where things get interesting. If you look at what Bob McKenzie has to say, he has Will Smith in that spot. Jason Bukala has Leo Carlson. Scott Wheeler has Michkov. So this is where we start to see some discrepancies. Number four, both Bob McKenzie and Scott Wheeler have Leo Carlson. That's where Jason Bukala puts in Michkov. And number five, Bob McKenzie has Michkov. Bukala has Ryan Leonard. And Scott Wheeler has Will Smith. So it seems like Sportsnet is the only one that does not have Will Smith in that top five, but Ryan Leonard enters the chat in there.
And Will Smith, I mean, he was incredible at the under-18 World Championship. He had a hat trick in the semifinals. He had 19 points in the tournament. He's really made a push and moving up in the rankings. And this, I should say, for Bob McKenzie, it's his penultimate rankings. He'll have one more out before the draft itself. And there could be changes still to come. The real wild card is Michkov. You know, he has talent, to be in the conversation for that top three. He's called the Russian Bedard. But the question is, can teams be patient enough until he completes his KHL contract and is available off the top of my head, 25-26 season? You know, kind of a Kiprusov situation where Minnesota was able to wait and what a great add to their team, but. Would the Canadiens do that? Would they be able to wait? That's the question, and I think that's why you see some jumbling in these rankings. Other players who aren't in this aren't on that list. I would say Zach Benson from the Winnipeg Ice. Dvorsky, who was very good at the under 18 World Championships as well. Would the Canadians add another Slovak to the team? So those are the kinds of conversations we're going to be having over the next few weeks. The first step, of course, is to figure out where they will be picking.
Yeah, if you remember last year, I think there was a debate over 1 and 2 between Slafkovský and Shane Wright. This year, it's very much not the case. We know who's going to be picked number one. That's pretty well said. I'd be very surprised if it was anyone other than Adam Fantilli at number two. So I don't think there's a ton of debate to be had there. But that number 3, 4, and 5 spot, that's where it's going to get interesting for sure. So if you're, let us know what your thoughts are on this draft lottery. If you're going to be tuning into that, I know the production is always a little bit weird. I might honestly just follow this one online instead of watching. We'll see. And if you're not a Debbie Downer like Jeff Molson and you believe that the Montreal Canadiens can get that number one pick, like I do, I think there's a fair chance. And I'm sure that we're all excited and we'll give you an update next week on what happens.
Absolutely.
So taking a look around the league, there were some news for the NHL as they put out their finalists for some of the 2023 NHL awards. We'll start with the James Norris Memorial Trophy, the top defenseman. The nominees are Adam Fox, Erik Karlsson, and Cale Makar. Erik Karlsson, 101 points this season. The only one that didn't make it into the playoffs, I think the other two are probably the two other I guess the two best defensemen in the world right now. Cale Makar, of course, he had a little bit of an injury situation. I think he was out for 20 games this year, so that could be a knock against him. So not much else to say about this, but we'll see what happens there. It could be interesting. Are they going to go with a named grab, or are they going to go with someone outside of the playoffs that had a huge offensive season like Erik Karlsson?
When not injured, it's Cale Makar. That's easy. But yeah, you're right. Will the injury affected season play into this at all?
And then the Calder Memorial Trophy, so the top rookie. I have said to Rick just before the show, I think this was decided before the season really started. And you know what, the way Matty Beniers has played this year, I feel like it's a pretty fair to give him that nomination. He's probably going to win, I think. So the three nominees, Matty Beniers, Owen Power, and Stuart Skinner. I feel like Skinner's a little bit of a wild card getting onto this list.
Yeah, absolutely. I picked Beniers with our bold predictions at the start of the season. And I think I said it wasn't really a bold choice at that time.
And the Patrice Bergeron Trophy. Oh, sorry, the Frank J. Selke Trophy, the forward who demonstrates the most skill defensively. The nominees, Patrice Bergeron, which I feel like he probably gets nominated every year. You may as well name the trophy after him.
Bob Gainey.
And then there's Nico Hischier. And a winger, Mitch Marner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, gets in there. Do you have any thoughts on this one, Rick?
The sentimental choices, Bergeron, and I couldn't imagine a scenario where he doesn't win.
The Lady Byng Memorial Trophy, the best sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct. The three nominees are Jack Hughes, Anze Kopitar, and Braden Point. I don't know if I can really weigh into this one too much because I don't interact with these guys on the ice.
Jack Hughes, I think the ratio of penalties drawn to penalties taken, that he is at the top of that list, so that would be a logical reason to pick him. But these aren't always voted on logically.
And then the Jack Adams Trophy, that's for the coach or the top coach of the year. I feel like more often than not, this ends up being the surprise team of the year. And I think the three coaches nominated very much fit that criteria. So Dave Haxtell from the Kraken, you have Jim Montgomery from the Bruins, who had a record-setting year, and then Lindy Ruff of the Devils. And Lindy Ruff started the year by being booed, and then very quickly all the fans showed up and apologized. So not too many surprises off of this one. I think that all three of these coaches, there's a fair argument as to why they're deserving.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like Lindy Ruff mainly because the Devils picked second. They were at the bottom of the standings with the Canadiens last year. They picked second overall, and he's made them into a contender, obviously. Though that isn't the complete list of the awards. The NHL is putting out a couple a day, and that'll go on through next week. Of course, I shouldn't say of course. The one that I'm looking forward to is going to be the Vezina, and the three top goalies this past year arguably are Linus Ullmark, Ilya Sorokin, and Connor Hellebuyck. All three not currently playing in the playoffs, and even if you extend that list to Shesterkin and Vasilevsky, all five of those guys are out of the playoffs right now. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I feel like kind of a career season for Ullmark in there, and then the rest of them seem to be part of a rotating cast of the guys who get voted for the Vezina. But I think all of them could be quite deserving, and it'll be interesting to see what they decide for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, before we head off into our first break on the show, reportedly the Washington Capitals are interviewing Lightning assistant coach Jeff Halpern as they start a search for their new head coach. So Jeff Halpern, former Canadian, former player, a guy who's been on that Lightning bench this year. So this is pretty interesting. I like that pick.
I do too. Jeff Halpern had 8 years as an assistant coach in the AHL with Syracuse and the NHL with Tampa. He almost 1,000 games, 976 NHL games, 88 of those games with the Montreal Canadiens, a full season in 2010-11, and then 12 games after he's picked up on waivers. And of note, a teammate of Marty St. Louis played 3 years. They played 3 years together in Tampa. So there's your Canadiens connection with Jeff Halpern, and we'll see how that search plays out for the Washington Capitals.
So coming up, we'll hear a brand new message from our sponsors, DraftKings, and then it's our big topic segment. Habs fans endorse rebuild, but for how long? Stay with us. This is the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Think you know who's going to win between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers? Or maybe you're feeling a certain way about how Vegas or Seattle is going to do? Whatever your choice is, go to DraftKings Sportsbook and make your bets before round two begins. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, KS. 21 and over in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for offer details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources.
Welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Michael Spinella, and you can find me on Twitter at The Spinella. With me in the studio is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at Rocket Sports. And you can follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, check out the website, CanadiansConnection.com. And here's just a little reminder here to hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcast player on your favorite podcasting app. That way you never miss a single episode. I think, Rick, we noticed that we're starting to get a few more listens than we normally do as we head into this off season. So we just want to remind everyone, hit that subscribe button so you can continue to listen to us throughout this summer as we don't take a break. We'll be here every single Saturday, right?
Exactly. We'll be here every week talking about the topics that you want to hear. And listen, for a team like the Montreal Canadiens in a rebuild, the offseason is just as important as games during the season, if not more so. So that's why we're around all season, right through the summer, to bring you the stories you need to know. And subscribe and also pass on to your friends. They're looking for a Montreal Canadiens podcast that they can trust. You can suggest the Canadiens Connection. We've been around since, well, for over a decade doing this, and the reason people stick with us is just that. They know that we have the connections, the contacts, to bring you information that you can count on.
Yeah, and we like hearing from Habs fans, too. That's going to tie in pretty well with what we're about to talk about. We know that Habs fans are very passionate about their team, despite the fact that the Habs have been in the bottom five of the standings this past year, bottom of the standings the year before. But what are Habs fans looking for to start the end of the season? Well, The Athletic has put out a survey geared towards Canadiens fans. They conducted one at the beginning of the season, and then they did it again just last week. A lot of the same questions. They put out a couple new ones in there as well, changed some of their options. But for the most part, it's basically the same question. So it'll be interesting to compare how Habs fans felt at the beginning of the season until now. And we actually broke this down on this podcast when it came out originally in the beginning of the year on Canadiens Connections episode 208. So that is something we're going to take a look at throughout this big topic segment, eh?
Absolutely. This was a new idea from The Athletic in the fall. Just before the season, they at the end of August, they took a read of the Canadiens after that season where Montreal was at the bottom of the standings. And as you said, episode 208 at the beginning of September. If you want to go back and check that one in the player, just to see what we had to say then and how it compares to how the survey turned out and if fans have changed their attitudes. We should give kind of a bit of a caution in that The Athletic, these are two writers for The Athletic. They're hockey writers. And they do a reasonably good job, but they're not mathematicians, they're not statisticians, they're not social science experts. So putting together this survey, not their specialty, and it'll become obvious as we talk about it. So you might want to take some of the conclusions with a bit of a grain of salt. Some others, there might be some meaningful conclusions drawn in it. But I think the most important thing is to gauge the Canadiens fan base. And as we said, the title of this big topic is, Habs fans, they are now, for now, endorsing the rebuild. But how long is that going to continue?
Yeah, so we'll compare the two different results that we got, the first one from August 2022 and the most recent one from April 2023. And the very first question that we'll take a little dive into is, can Canadiens fans be patient? So back in August 2022, 76.7% of the people that responded said that they would be ready to wait 3 or 4 years for the Canadiens to rebuild and produce a lasting success. But in April 2023, 77% of respondents said that they're willing to wait until the 2024 season or the 2025 season. So it seems like most fans have their eyes on the 2025-2026 season.
Yeah, it's interesting that the results are so stable. There's no difference statistically between those two. Same feelings at the start of the season as at the end of the season. It's easy when you're sitting back and you're on your computer, or you're on your phone, and you're answering, can I be patient? Sure, I can be patient. Rather than when you're in the stands at the Bell Center, when you're watching at home, to feel that same patience to go through, another losing season. And we saw there were some cracks in that armor this past year, in terms of fans, in terms of coaching. Marty St. Louis said this was going to be the season of development. We saw him, make some decisions that weren't consistent with that. There was, they certainly didn't follow that model in Laval. And so it's interesting to see how fans can respond out of the heat of the action and compare that to when they're on Twitter, on social media, sending us messages, being angry at the end of December after a losing streak. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I think we did feel towards the early parts of last season when Montreal was not getting completely caved in, when they were still like statistically in it and they could have made a playoffs if they made a big push at one point. I think we started to see that Habs fans were saying, oh, well, the rebuild's over, or let's buy at the deadline. Let's go for it. We're going to make the playoffs this year. And then when things started to slip a little bit, I think attitudes changed and maybe some people changed their minds about that and felt like, okay, yeah, we're still in the rebuild. So interesting that a lot of people, like you said, on paper at least, are saying that they'll be patient for a few years yet.
Yeah.
Next question we'll take a look at. Do fans support the direction of new management? So back in August, 86.1% of fans said that they gave Hughes and Gordon their full confidence, scoring them between 8 and 10. And the most recent one in April, 87.2% of fans continued to score both Hughes and Gordon's with an 8 to 10 mark on their confidence. So up by just a little sliver, but it seems like most fans are pretty confident about Hughes and Gordon. The difference between 8 and 10, I think, is pretty marginal, isn't it?
Yeah, and the difference between the 1% change between August and April is not significant either. Again, Canadiens fans, for the most part, approve of the approach by Hughes and Gordon. Now, we should... it was a very different approach, but we can only be responsible by mentioning that in the first 2 years of Marc Bergevin's tenure, fans were just as supportive, and so this is in a situation like this when new management comes in, especially if it moves in a path that's different from its predecessor. Fans are going to approve, and to their credit, Gordon and Hughes haven't done anything to disturb that confidence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most fans, like we said, with them being patient, at least on paper, they seem to like the direction things are going and they're willing to wait out the rebuild for now anyway.
Yeah.
And now Martin St. Louis, the other guy that we like to talk about here on this podcast. Well, the question is, what do fans think about Marty St. Louis? And back in August 2022, 55.9% of the respondents indicated that they had some doubts, but they expected him to improve. Well, the most recent one, 56% of fans said they have total confidence in him. Although, there is a caveat here, 40.5% still have some doubts, but expect him to improve. So not all the doubts are gone. We did see a little bit of a shift there that a lot of fans seem to like Marty St. Louis. He's a very popular guy, we know. But there are some doubts from some other fans, although they expect him to improve as he goes along.
Yeah, I think here, and it is significant, 15 in the neighborhood of 15 or 16% have moved from that group that, where they had some doubts but expect them to improve, being positive, and they've moved into the total confidence group. But that's almost an evenly split, a little in favor of the Total Confidence Group. But and that's understandable too, because now they have more information to go on. Marty St. Louis has completed his first year as head coach, and I think for the most part, fans are happy with the energy he brings, the inspiration he brings, the positivity that he brings. And that was never something that we've been critical of. It's the other side of it. It's the experience, his ability to bring a structure and a game plan and those kinds of things. And perhaps we hope that he's developing some experience and learning as he goes, as well as that there's development happening in the coaching ranks as well as the player ranks.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's very well put by you, Rick. Next thing I'm going to take a look at, the question is, what is the biggest obstacle to consistently reaching the conference finals? So back in August 2022, 41.8% of fans pointed to lack of a top pair defenseman, and 39.1% signaled the fact that the organization does not have a goalie of the future. So I found that pretty interesting. I think this is coming off of a season where there was no Shea Weber, and you were used to having that big anchor on defense. So defense was certainly a big question, and especially at the time, Rick, if you remember on this podcast, we were talking about the potential of having like almost all rookies on the back end, and we weren't sure what to do with that. Little did we know that, you know what, all those rookie defensemen were going to be better than the veterans. So now flash forward to April 2023. 16.4% of fans pointed to lack of a top pairing defenseman, but 32.9% signaled to the fact that the organization does not have a goalie of the future. So I think that's a pretty big adjustment there. And then 35.9% note that other teams have better prospects. And I think that kind of attributes to the fact that we've gone through years and years of Bergevin just not developing anyone, and there just not being many options in Laval. So that was a pretty big shift in this vote, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. As you said, the no top pairing defenseman and was the key concern back in August. I think over the course of the season, there's a few things that happened here. One is the emergence of, as you said, we didn't know what to expect with that young group, a bunch of rookie defensemen. But Caden Gooley was, certainly a leader on defense when he was healthy enough to be in the lineup. Jordan Harris was terrific. Arber Xhekaj, a bit of an eye-opener and a fan favorite. And then Justin Barron. You can see the potential there as he joined the lineup later in the season. So I think that Canadiens fans had a little more confidence in the group that's back there. And of course, on the other side, the media had their darling, their favorite in Mike Matheson, and pushing him. And then the phenomenal season by Lane Hutson. Whether that's going to translate effectively to the NHL, we still don't know. And I think that this is still an issue. You want to have as many arrows in the quiver as possible. This is still something that the Canadiens, through drafting, are going to have to address. But this shift from the defenseman to saying, okay, we have prospects, but do we have any elite prospects? Do we have a mm-hmm. franchise prospect? Do we have a Connor McDavid? Connor McDavid, sure, or Bedard. Type prospect who's going to be a franchise player. Doesn't seem like Slafkovský is going to be an amazing piece, but is he going to be that generational kind of prospect or franchise player? Maybe not. And I think that the goaltender issue, there's a little change there, but not really. And actually, this is where I'll take issue with the survey itself and the design. Yeah. Why don't you ask the question in the easiest possible terms. The Canadians don't have a number one goaltender on the team or in the pipeline. That would have been a more direct way to ask that question. I think it goes against the narrative that group of media want to get out there, that Sam Montembeau is some sort of savior. And I think that number may have been higher had it been asked more directly rather than obscurely and fans not knowing whether they're talking about a defenseman to clear the crease or a forward in front of the other net or what it was. So I think there has been some shifts here, but it's only leading to questions rather than answers.
Yeah, I agree with you. Putting the question as option in front of the net was pretty vague and not super, super clear, but I think we have the right to assume they mean goaltender.
Yeah.
And it is interesting that there are still a lot of fans out there that have their doubts despite all the propaganda being put out by the mainstream media in regards to pushing Sam Montembeau as a goalie of the future. So yeah, definitely interesting question. And I think this is the one that we saw the most shifts. The next thing that was asked, and this kind of ties in with the prospects, is who is the most promising prospect? So I think back in August 2022, Caden Gooley by a landslide. That's fair. 62.7% of the voters chose Caden Gooley. And the most recent one, again, 56.7% chose Caden Gooley. So it's still Gooley by a landslide. I think that's fair. Right now, he seems to be the most promising prospect, the guy with the most upside. But making his way in second place is Lane Hudson, who back in August, it was 15.1% of the vote. Now here, the most recent one, he gets 28.9% of the vote. So I think he's starting to take some of the vote away from Caden Gooley. That's nothing really to do with Gooley. That's just more how confident fans are in Lane Hudson with the great season he had.
Yeah, and getting exposure to news about Lane Hudson and learning more about the prospect and his potential. You're right. It has nothing to do with Caden Gooley losing confidence in Caden Gooley. It's just an awareness of Lane Hudson, and I think that's fair. And with Caden Gooley still having double the confidence, fans' confidence, I think that fans are just excited to see what he can do next season in a full season and having one NHL season under his belt.
Yeah, and speaking of prospects, how would you evaluate Juraj Slafkovský's rookie season? This was a brand new question that they put in this April survey, and 74.8% of fans responded saying that Slafkovský's season was fair to poor or below expectations. Again, we'll talk about it in a second here how some of these questions were worded, and it seemed that only 7.6% of fans rated Slafkovský as good or excellent. With all due fairness to Slafkovský, he had a season-ending injury, and before that, I don't think that he quite met anyone's expectations. The options here for this vote, there was excellent, there was good, there was fair, there was below expectations, there was poor, and there was incomplete. I don't know. I don't really see much of a difference between fair and poor, and especially when you consider that he had a season-ending injury. I feel like a lot of people may have just voted fair, thinking, well, we didn't really have much of a chance to see him this year. Is that fair to say, Rick?
Well, it's interesting to ask fans, you know, what's the difference between fair and poor? Are fair and poor below expectations? So, you know, a little tip, when you're wanting to kind of downplay the results, and if the results are going to be negative, you put in a number of responses that sound the same and confuse respondents. And then you split up that vote. You divide that vote. And that's exactly what, again, not to disparage the survey, but they're part of the agenda-driven media. They have their narrative. They don't want to disturb that. It's one of the things that we relish being independent media is we can be honest with fans. And here you have, there's not any difference really between fair, poor, and below expectations. So you can group them together and say that yes, Yuri Slefkovsky's season was below expectations, poor, however you want to term that. And I think if he's being honest with himself, he would say the same thing. Incomplete is a different answer because it relates to his injury situation. But we should note that his grade wasn't just because of injuries. The last 15 games before his injury, he had nothing. He had no points. He wasn't involved in the games. Is this a development mistake? Not sending him to Laval, given that he had so many things to learn about the North American game. Well, that's a debate for another time. But I don't think, I'd like to meet those 7.6 percent of fans who said good or excellent, and maybe what they're saying is it was good in the circumstances because of his injury. But I think to be fair, there was some criticism of him for those games where he was not injured.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's fair to point out he did spend almost all of that on the fourth line. And like you said, he was kind of a non-factor throughout a lot of these games. So it is what it is. We'll get a better look at Slefkovsky next year. Hopefully he's got a nice summer to focus on his development. Next question we'll take a look at is, who is the most valuable trade asset? And back in August, 56% chose Josh Anderson. And the most recent one, 57.4, chose Josh Anderson. So not really anything changing there. It's Josh Anderson by a landslide. But interestingly enough, coming in number two here on the most recent one is Joel Edmondson with 22.6% of the vote. Back in August, he was not included on this or did not receive any vote. So it's interesting that he's creeping up a little bit.
Yeah, just to be clear there, he wasn't on the ballot at all. So he wasn't given as an option, might have had, a bigger impact than in the fall. I think most reasonably, he was added to this this list. And we recall that both Josh Anderson and Joel Edmondson at the closeout meetings both talked about not really being interested in being part of a rebuild, and that's not the only reason they're on this list. It's for other reasons as well, and those being that they have value, and Kent Hughes has already said that he's received calls about them. So whether they'll be moved in the off season or not, or whether we're counting the days down to the trade deadline next season, we'll have to wait and see.
And then the last question we'll take a look at here. The question is, why is Montreal no longer a desirable destination for top players? So this one, I know, Rick, you're going to have something to say about the options that were included. So back in August, 43.5% chose taxes. Here in April, 42.6% chose media pressure. And we'll note that media pressure was not included on the original version of the survey, so that option soared to the top. But also, I think it's fair to say that, what exactly does media pressure mean? That seems like a pretty vague option. And I'll let everyone know all the options that they did include. So it was media pressure, taxes, lack of success, too passionate fans and weather. Obviously, too passionate fans and weather were towards the bottom. Lack of success kind of in the middle with 16.2% of the vote. Rick, I'll let you go off on this one.
Well, back in August, and it, on that episode 208, it was Amy Johnson and I who went through the original survey. And we found it quite odd because we know the reason. We primarily know the reasons that what is keeping players from signing in Montreal, or the reasons why Montreal is added to their no-trade list. And we know that from talking with hockey execs. We know that from talking especially with agents and with some players. And it was the top two, and it comes all the time. Hostile media, and language issues. And oddly, curiously, the survey didn't include either answer in the fall, in when it was done in August. And again, that's wanting to drive a certain narrative. That's not being honest with their fans, and that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, because it's obvious to fans, and fans have heard too, that they know the reasons that are keeping players away from Montreal. The language restrictions, we know that there was chat groups set up by agents for their clients about Quebec legislation with respect to language. It's not something where players are necessarily bigoted, but their concern for the language of choice for their children's education or their spouse being able to operate in the province, or the fact that as players, they want to be dealt fairly based on their play, based on their merit. And we know that that's not always the case, that players who, their promotion, their praise is sometimes based on their birthplace. So it's, and the media can be very hostile, can be very vicious, can be agenda-driven. They can be xenophobic in some cases in Montreal. And here in August, the authors heard in comments from their fan base saying, "Why don't you have media on here?" And they said, we just think that the media are passionate, just as passionate as fans. And that all we're doing, all the media pressure, is just a reflection of how important hockey is to our audience. And we know that that's not entirely true. Is it media pressure? Not necessarily. They relented and included, but shaped the media question the way they wanted to. And I think most fans saw that, said media, and answered, and as you said, that answer soared to the top. Taxes, yeah, absolutely, still an issue in Quebec. As I said, language is certainly up there, and the two passionate fans. I mean, that's just silly to be even included.
Yeah, interesting that in that original survey they put blame onto fans as opposed to putting blame onto the media.
Yeah,
I listening to players in interviews, and I'll be the first to say I'm not an expert. I might not be most in the know, but it seems like a lot of players do have respect for passionate fans, right? I think
absolutely.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear from a lot of players in interviews that they do want to play somewhere where the fans care. So I do think it was pretty silly to put that on there. And like you said, no surprise that media pressure was soaring right to the top. And I think we have a pretty good idea of why that might be the case.
Yeah, and it's just not genuine. As far as fans being passionate, of course they want to play in an environment like Montreal, where their work is appreciated. Even a player like Denis Gurianov, when he was traded and brought to Montreal when the trade happened, he said that it's exciting to be in a market where fans are so focused on the team. And players are recognized in their daily lives in the community, and the vast majority of those interactions are positive. Fans are typically positive, so that whole narrative that they're trying to create, offloading the blame from them to fans, was it was really silly in August, and that response shouldn't be part of that question.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. So we found the survey was pretty interesting, and we thought it was an interesting thing to compare how fans felt at the beginning of the season as opposed to now, because we did learn a lot throughout the course of this season about this team, and we'd appreciate hearing from all our listeners too. What are your thoughts on some of these? Do you like how these survey results ended up? Did you disagree with anything or anything we said too? So feel free to reach out to us. We have our Rocket Sports text line, 5853 Rocket. Send us a text. Let us know your thoughts on everything that we talked about in this segment.
Yeah, because certainly I know that some of our listeners probably filled out this survey, and we'd love to hear from them. We also know that our fan base is maybe a bit broader across the world, and we'd like to know how those fans feel about this as well.
Yeah, so we'll head off into our third segment, which is the Have Your Say segment. We'll send a question out to our fans. Our Canadians Connection question of the week is, who would you rather see in the Eastern Conference Final, the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Florida Panthers? And like I said in the first segment, let's be civil and have a good conversation here. This isn't about real fans or fake fans at all. But first, we'll head into our final break. We'll hear a message from Raycon. So stay with us. This is the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Let's face it, with coffee starting at $5, yes, even without any customizations, and our bank accounts somehow always depleting, we are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate, or dupe, is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on? Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. Now, why would you want to spend a little bit less on earbuds? Well, because let's face it, getting good quality earbuds or headphones can sometimes really break the bank. And to find a product that has premium quality audio with tons of features at a really reasonable price is kind of one of those leprechauns that you want to take advantage of. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of those other more big name tech brands out there. Raycon knows that in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options, and right now you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks, and they offer free domestic shipping and flat fee international shipping. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews, and I have to say, I'm one of them. I am a Raycon user. I have a pair of the everyday earbuds, and they're just phenomenal. They are so comfortable. There are lots of different custom gel tips, so you get a perfect, really comfortable in-ear fit, really good noise isolation. There's an awareness mode, so you can let some outside noise seep in if you want to be aware of what's going on around you. Customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions, you name it, these earbuds have it. So what to do now? Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today and get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN.
Welcome back to episode 242 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Make sure you're following at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, we have a website, CanadiansConnection.com. And please text us anytime via the Rocket Sports text line. It's at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. We love to hear from our listeners, and we'll get to our Canadians Connection question of the week pretty soon. We also have a text message from Justin from Cornwall that we'll read on air as well. But first, it's going to be a crazy busy offseason. We just had a crazy busy season, and here's all the things you need to know, brought to you by Rocket Sports. First and foremost, you're going to want to head over to HabsHockeyReport.com. And on there, weekly every Monday, Chris G puts out his Habs notepad. So that's going to be your source of all Habs news throughout the week. Get yourself prepared and in the know for the week coming. And we'll also sprinkle in some Habs headlines as we come along. And if you missed it throughout this season, you're going to want to head over to our YouTube channel. Just search at All Habs. And on there, you will find the Habs Hockey Report hosted by Amy Johnson. So make sure you hit subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment. Amy loves to respond to all the comments. Sometimes she reads them on air. So that's a pretty good spot to get some news throughout the midweek. And listen to some interesting topics. Amy Johnson is a great host, so make sure you hit that subscribe button. Never miss a single episode. And you're going to want to hit the subscribe button on both of our Rocket Sports podcasts on your favorite podcasting app. First and foremost, every Tuesday, the Press Zone comes out. You can find it at thepresszone.fm. That's going to be your inside source on the Laval Rocket, Habs prospects, and everything to do with the AHL. Amy Johnson hosts that, and our AHL guru, Patrick Williams, does a great job hopping onto that show as well. Sometimes you get some Rick Stevens in there as well. And if you cannot get enough of Rick Stevens, you're going to want to subscribe to this podcast. The Canadians Connection, CanadiansConnection.fm is where you can find it. Like I said, hit the subscribe button. Every Saturday, we have a new episode. We do not take a break. We hear year-round. We know a lot of other podcasts and some radio stations will stop talking hockey and Montreal Canadiens during the summer. We're going to continue to talk about them. There's always something fascinating to talk about, and we look forward to keeping you all up to date on the Montreal Canadiens throughout this offseason.
And at CanadiansConnection.fm, you're going to find all of our past episodes. If you're new, welcome, and new subscriber. You might want to check out some of the episodes that we've had in the past, and you can do that at CanadiansConnection.fm. If you go to CanadiansConnection.fm/listen, there's a whole list some icons there. Might be include your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, Good Pods, all of them. And it makes it very easy to subscribe to the Canadians Connection.
So you heard from us, and now it's time to hear from our listeners. Like I said, the Canadians Connection question of the week happens right now. And the question is, who would you rather see in the Eastern Conference Finals, Toronto or Florida? We know that there are some implications with Florida. Montreal has their first-round draft pick. At one point earlier this season, the dream was that Florida would miss the playoffs and we'd have two picks in the draft lottery. But Florida's surging right now. They're a fun team to watch. And on the other end, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we know that Montreal Canadiens fans have some bold opinions on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But for this question, when you do reach out and let us know your thoughts, like I said, let's be civil. Let's not get into those big Twitter arguments. Let's have a genuine conversation. I think there's a good reason to cheer for either one of these teams to make it to the Eastern Conference Final.
Just to add to your decision making, just think about the images of angry Kyle Dubas. And and if you don't want to see Kyle Dubas happy, then maybe that will affect your choice. But oh my goodness, it's been so enjoyable watching him be miserable and throw things around his press box.
I will say that Pierre Dorion was the original general manager to throw water across the room. So I know Dubas had a water bottle, smart water, not so smart anymore, are you?
Yeah.
But like I said, too, we do have a text message from one of our great listeners, Justin from Cornwall. Rick, what did Justin have to say to us?
He texted us to first say, great show. He says, great show, guys. And then asks, "What do you make of the rumor? What do you make of the rumor mill moving from Dubois to Lafreniere this week? And what's with the love affair of Patrice Bergeron?" I'll let you have first crack at this.
Well, I still feel like a lot of fans want Dubois on the team. I don't think the Dubois rumors are disappearing. I feel like it's just adding Lafreniere to the mix. Look, I've made it pretty clear. I don't know how I feel about the potential of Dubois coming to this team. I worry that adding him to the locker room could be a problem. Although he is a pretty good player, disappointing playoffs for both of these players, I think, getting knocked out in the first round and not really being a factor, especially in elimination games. Lafreniere, former first overall pick, not quite lived up to the hype that he had back then. It could just be that he's not a fit on this very skilled and talented New York Rangers team. I don't think he gets a lot of time playing in the top six. He's been in the bottom, probably a third line player for the most part. It could be either of these players could be interesting additions to the team, but they're going to cost you quite a bit if you want to bring them in. So we'll see where these rumors go and if they continue throughout the summer. As per Patrice Bergeron, I've been pretty neutral on this player, like, forever. He's a Bruin. I don't know. Can I really enjoy a Bruins player that much? We'll see. He's a talented guy. His career could be over. I understand that he's accomplished a lot in his career, and he's basically the embodiment of the Frank J. Selke trophy. I don't know. I don't know what the love affair is with Bergeron right now. I don't particularly love it or hate it, if I'm being honest. Rick, what's your response to this?
Yeah, Bergeron first, and I kind of feel about Patrice Bergeron the way I feel about Marc-Andre Fleury. There are certain reporters in Montreal who are absolutely nuts about these players for the simple reason that their birthplace. But for Patrice Bergeron, the appropriate amount of respect a Montreal Canadiens supporter would have for a Boston Bruin. He's had a positive career and is a great Bruin. Doesn't make me, all that fond of the work that he's done. The other two, yes, Dubois, that's going to continue. That'll continue throughout the summer. I think with both Lafreniere and Dubois, I'd love to hear those who are promoting both names to make a case for the players, not simply that he's Chenu. Make a case, and a good reason why these players will be a good fit for the Montreal Canadiens, and be realistic in terms of what the Canadiens will have to give up. George Laroque, and the reason I guess this got all fired back up is George Laroque this past week made a case on how the Canadiens can make two trades and acquire both Dubois and Lafreniere. I think it's rather very unrealistic. And in the case of Lafreniere, you're not going to pay for him like the first round pick that he was. He's been a huge disappointment. And yes, the role that he played might have affected it, but I thought it was quite effective. Big head hockey on Twitter, which is it just gets the point across with an image for the most part. But it says Alexis Lafreniere in 7 games against the Devils, 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points, 0 penalty minutes, 0 plus minus, 0 faceoff percentage, he doesn't take faceoff, and 0 net takeaways, yet he was first overall. He's been an enormous disappointment. So I know that George Laroque and Eric Fichaud and Latondres and Lapierre, they all need something to talk about. So to answer the question of Justin, the rumor mill, I understand it more about Dubois. The Lafreniere, I think, is just a way of broadening that discussion and continuing it on.
Yeah, and to be honest, if we're talking about Lafreniere being a disappointing top pick, why not talk about Capo Caco, who's not lived up to expectations
there you
either?
Go.
Why is he not an option?
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that's a fair, yeah. But I think it's fair to leave it at that one, Rick.
Yeah,
we appreciate the question, Justin, from Cornwall. And if any of you have questions or comments that you'd like us to talk about, just send us a text, the Rocket Sports text line. I'll say it again, 5853-ROCKET. Let us know your first name and where you're from so we know who it's coming from. And just like Justin, we could read it on air for you. Coming up this week, Monday is the big day. The draft lottery. It's going to be May 8th at 8 p.m. They rescheduled it from 7 to 8. Not sure why, but that's going to be when it happens now. So make sure you tune into that. Make sure you keep an eye on social media, and we'll make sure that we let you know everything that happens with that, and we'll certainly have a discussion here. I'm looking forward to it, and like I said, we'll see whether or not I actually tune into the TV to watch it or I just watch the replay. So that'll be a wrap for us today. Thank you all for listening. Please make sure you're subscribed to the Canadians Connection podcast in the player or on your favorite podcast app. And if you like what you heard today, you can share it on social media and share it with your friends. Enjoy the week. We'll be back here next Saturday, May the 13th, for another great episode. Thank you all for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Visit allhabs.net for breaking news about the Montreal Canadiens.